Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. And then let's go to Psalm number 30 in our blue book, Psalm number 30. If you know that song, I ask you to lead that song. It has something to do with the message, the entire message. The message is not on this song, but it has a lot to do with what we're going to be speaking about this morning. As always, I desire your prayers, and I'm glad that you all made it out to service today. We want the Lord to bless us and help us.
Yes.
You know that song, Sister Mommy? You don't know that? Anybody know it? All right. Let's sing that song this morning.
I do not pray for victory.
Speech.
Yes.
As always, I desire your prayers.
Yes, Lord.
Because it's something that we all need. It's something that we all can do better at. The song says, I do not pray for faith to remove the mountains in my way, nor for some wondrous gift to prove I walk with him each day. He says, I only ask for amazing grace to humbly stand each test I face. Oh, give me a little more love, precious Lord, I'll be satisfied. And then it says, Jesus, give me a little more love, precious Lord. And then I like this part. It says, for God and for my fellow man. I need a little more love, precious Lord, to ever do the best that I can. So beneath the cross, I will meekly kneel until at last your love I feel. Oh, give me a little more love, precious Lord. I'll be satisfied. We need love is what we need. And God has been opening this subject up to me in such a way that it has been enlightening and encouraging and uplifting my heart. And it's my desire to make sure that we understand that love is what we need, love is what the world needs. And so when we speak to people, even when we speak to people, we speak love to them. We speak grace to them. We speak mercy to them, compassion to them. Jesus, as our example, he showed us all of those things. And so by the grace and help of God this morning, I want us to get a better understanding on how to talk with people and how to deal with people so that the love of God can be shown in us to them, that they may receive the help that they need. All right, first of all, spoken words have power. Words in any form have power. All right. Our text scripture is James 1 and 19, but we're not going to go up to that until later on. Communication is important. Somebody get 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 33. And I want us to read a little bit about communication. All right, 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. If you have it, go ahead and read it, please.
Be not deceived.
Evil communication, corrupt good manner. All right. And so what it's telling us, first of all, don't be tricked. Don't be bamboozled, right? Yeah. Evil communication. And see, we've read this scripture many times, but this time I got a little bit more out of it. It said, don't be deceived. Another place it says in the Bible, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Yeah. And so be not deceived. Sometimes we think that the words that we say are of little or of no importance. But it says here, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manner. All right, and so I can say something that can corrupt someone else, can cause harm to someone else. I can say something that can corrupt my own self. All right, and so there's power in words. And so I want us to understand this morning that evil communication, don't be tricked that they're just words. No, words matter, words count, and they're important. All right, and so we need to understand that right now today. What I say to myself, I can say something negative to myself about myself that will hinder me along the way of life. I can say in the same way something positive, something uplifting to my own self and help my own self along the way. And in the same way, when we deal with others, how we deal with them can either hinder them or propel them forward. It can either uplift them or push them down. All right, and so we sung the song about a little more love because it's not always easy to say the right thing, but God teaches us in his word how to be. He wants to teach us. It's a learning way. We go as we grow, and we grow as we go. Okay, so what God wants to do is he wants to teach us how to use our words to empower and to enrich and to uplift and to encourage, to be a help to those that are in need. And you're always going to be in a place where somebody has a need for a good word. May God help us this morning. All right. We have to be careful about what we say, when we say it, how we say it, to whom we say it. All right. There's a carefulness that God is wanting for us to have. I'm going to talk to about something that is common in our world today. And it's swearing. The word swear. Swear means to affirm that something is the case. All right. It also means to use coarse or blasphemous language. All right. So you've heard somebody say, I swear that this, that, and the other, right? All right, let's go to Matthew 5 and 33 through 37. We're going to read that. I want us to get an understanding about what God tells us to do about that and how important our words is in concerning the word swearing. All right, what does it say in Matthew 5 and 33 on down through 37?
Yeah. Said,
all right.
Time,
yes.
Thou shalt not forswear thyself,
all right.
But shall perform unto the Lord thy oath.
All right, pause there for me, please. I read 33. Originally, I didn't have 33 on there, but I'm gonna give us a little understanding if we don't know. Forswear is something that people would do. They would swear. They would say something. They would swear it, or they would say, basically, I'm promising this is true, but they knew it wasn't true. That's what forswear means, okay? And then when we swear, remember that it says to affirm that something is the case. So somebody can say, I swear that thus and so and thus and so, that's the case, right? So be thinking about that in terms of verses 34 through 37. Go ahead and read, please.
All right. We're not
All right.
It is God's will.
All right.
Nor by the earth, for it is his footstool.
Yes.
Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king.
Yes.
Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black.
Okay.
But let no communication be yea, yea, nay, nay.
Yes.
For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil.
All right, so it's teaching us something if we already didn't know. The Bible says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. All right, so it's a learning way. Yeah. If we didn't know this in time past, maybe our parents told us don't do it, or we heard don't do it, but to know is to understand. To understand, then we can do these things. We need to come from a place of knowledge. I am not to say that I swear anything. You see, I said, don't swear by God, don't swear by yourself, don't swear by the heavens. You don't need to do that. What validates your and I's word, you and your word and my word, what validates it is my life. Yes. All right? It's not the other way around. Right. You shouldn't have to swear. When you speak, people know you're speaking the truth, right? Because you are a truthful person. Yes. Right? And so what happens is we have to live in a way, as we see the last verse, it says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. When you say something, what that means is that's what it means, right? And it's true as far as you know. Amen. All right? And so what we want to do is live in a way that our words matter and our words count. And that somebody, when they hear from us, we have credibility. Right. All right? Because even if we're saying the right things, if we're not doing the right things, then the person that's listening or receiving the advice, receiving the counsel, receiving the understanding that we're trying to impart to them, but when there's a conflict with the lie, let your yea be yea and your nay be yea, nay. When there's a conflict with the lie, then there's still a gray area. Does that make sense? All right, so we have to live in a way that when we say something, then people know that you meant what you said, they can believe what you said, they can take it as truth as far as you know it. May God help us this morning. All right, God wants to do something for us, wants to give us an understanding that our words are important, they matter, and they count. I want us to be thinking about relationships this morning. All right, so that's what we have the most of, right? Whether it's good or bad, that's secondary. You have relationships. People that you come in contact with, you, that's a relationship. Right, whether it's a friendship, an acquaintance, whether it's an enemy, whatever it is, it's a relationship. All right, and so my words have a big have something to do with how that relationship goes. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right, be thinking about those things. All right, let's go to Proverbs 10 and 21. I wanted to hurry up and get up here because sometimes I take too long, and so I wanted to make sure I get through all this, because it's good, it's important, it's necessary for us to know, and then it can help us along our journey. May God help us this morning. God is calling for us to measure our words, all right? Be careful with your words. Measure your words. Know that they have power, and use them not as weapons unless you're fighting the enemy, because words fight the enemy too. All right? But we shouldn't be using words as weapons against one another. Right? The problem with using words as weapons is you can't see on the outside what damage you've done on the inside. All right? And so what we have to do is we have to be careful about what we say, because we can do damage great and great and tremendous damage to the inside, to the heart, the mind, the psyche, the self-esteem of an individual with something as little as words. There's a saying that I grew up with that I found out to be an absolute and complete lie. Sticks and stones.
Uh-huh.
What? Break your bone, but what? Words are never. They should have put that the opposite way. They should have put that the opposite. What's going to last, what's going to stick with you more than anything is when someone says something to you in your moment of weakness, when they're kicking you, when you're down, it can hurt you for a lifetime. And I've seen that. I've seen people with mental illness, and the main problem is the words that somebody spoke to them. They've been wrestling with those words all ever since it happened. And so we have to be careful about how we say, what we say, when we say, who we say it to. We have to be careful with those words, because we can weaponize our words and cause much damage. And then we wonder, why can't I help this person? Why can't this person get over this thing? May God help us this morning. We need him to help us. What did I say? Proverbs 10:21. Let's go there and get a little read in, please.
Lips of the righteous feed many.
All right. All right, and so now we're talking about what a child of God should do. What we're doing now, we've already talked about what we shouldn't be doing. Now we're starting to learn a little bit about what we should be doing. Yes. The lips of the righteous feed many. Think about this. You see a homeless person. This is an example. And you can go and you can give them some food, right? And I'm not saying that that's wrong, and that's a good thing. But what I'm saying is that God is wanting us to be a person where, not just in a food situation, but whatever the need is, we want to impart some wisdom unto that person that not only it addresses that problem that they're having today, but that problem going forward. Do you have Amazon is hiring, or you know, what can we do that can help get them out of that situation and put them in the right direction? So the need, we have to have wisdom, because you can't speak in the way that God is wanting you to speak and address the need if you don't know what the need is. So we need God to give us understanding as to what the real problem is, and then what can I speak in terms of wisdom that will help somebody in that area. All right. So God is wanting us to learn his way. The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he what? Teach his way. Yeah. All right. So this is part of God's way. What the words that Jesus used, all right, is it was to help people. Everything he did, not just the healing, not just the, you know, the love that he showed, but he spoke and the words that he spoke were helpful to people that were in need. All right. All right. Speak with kindness. Speak with righteousness. Speak guidance and truth to those that are lost. All right. Wisdom helps people. It says it feeds. In 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. So there's two things there. I can speak the truth that will help and bless and be a blessing. And then those that are hearing, they have a responsibility there, because we got to find the right voice that is telling us the right things to help us to be out of our difficulties, all right? In order to speak truth and righteousness, guidance to those that are lost, we must stay in the Word. We must stay in the Spirit, all right? So the Word of God teaches us what we are to say or how we are to respond. We stay in the Spirit of God, and so then when the situation arises, we're ready to give an answer of peace, an answer of love, an answer of hope to those that need it. It's not about what I think, but it is about what God is wanting for that soul, all right, to receive at that time. Somebody go to Proverbs 10:31. Somebody else get Colossians 4:6. All right, Proverbs 10:31. Please read.
The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom.
Right.
But the forward tongue shall be cut out.
All right, forward means difficult to deal with, contrary. All right, some people just want to stir it up. They want to stir the pot. They want to instigate. They want to keep the strife going, right? And so you go to them and you're trying to get some knowledge, some understanding on how to move forward and get out of this bad deal that you got going on. And they're wanting more contention. They're wanting more strife. They're wanting more negativity, right? And so then what we have to do is learn to find out who has the mouth of the just, who has the wisdom that it is that we need. James 1:5, what does that say? Says something about wisdom, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What does it say? If any man what? Any man lack wisdom what? Let him ask of God who does what? Give you a tiny bit, just as much as you need to get you through the next 10 seconds.
No.
Does it say that?
No.
Somebody read that for us, James 1:5.
If any of you lack wisdom,
all right,
ask of God that giveth to all men liberally.
All right.
Not, and it shall be given.
All right, so I have a responsibility here, don't I, to get the wisdom, God's wisdom, so that when I'm speaking in wisdom. I'm not just talking because I can talk, but what I'm saying, I realize have power, it has weight, it's important, and so I want to say the things that's going to be a blessing, going to be a help to those that are in need. Somebody got Colossians 4 and 6 already?
Let your speech
all right.
be always with grace,
all right.
seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man.
All right, so it says here, let your speech always be with grace, right? What is grace? We talked about grace this morning. Somebody give me their version or their understanding of what grace is.
Unmerited favor of God.
God's unmerited favor.
Yes.
All right, Brother Tavis, you said something this morning about that. What was it?
Because God extends that to us.
All right, then.
It's our responsibility to extend that to our fellow.
All right, so when I'm talking, there should be, my speech should be gracious. God's grace that he gave to me, unmerited means I don't deserve it, but he gave it to me anyway. He gives me his love. He gives me his grace, his mercy, his kindness, right? That same grace that God has given to me, I have a responsibility in my speech to give it to somebody else. So the way that I talk to somebody, remember we talk about from time to time, somebody comes up to one of the saints and they say, I don't know what it is about you, but you're different, or you are a Christian, right? These are the things that are showing out from that soul. That person is living in a way that even the way that they talk and how they handle other people, people recognize there's love behind that. There's grace, there's mercy, there's goodness behind that. And that is so different from what you experience on a regular basis in your day-to-day dealings with the regular world. All right? And so God is wanting for us to have that grace in our speech. And then he said to be seasoned with salt. What does salt make? What does salt do? Make things better, don't it? don't give me no meat with no salt on it. That ain't right. That is not right. I need a little salt with mine. I need something to make it taste a little better. And so God wants us to be able to speak with people with grace and then put a little seasoning on it, and it'll be better better received, put it that way. All right, moving forward by the grace and help of God. All right, wisdom, we got grace, we got all of these things that God is wanting for us to do. God gives us that wisdom if we don't have it. Somebody go to Psalms 25 and 9 and read that for us. I think I already referenced this scripture, but we just want to make sure it's still in here just in case it went somewhere. All right? Psalms 25 and 9.
The meek will be guided in judgment.
All right.
And the meek will be teach his way.
All right. So this is a scripture that we referenced before. God is wanting for us to know his way. I want to pause here for a little bit and just kind of belabor the point just a taste. We learn things. We learn things consciously, and we learn things subconsciously.
That's true.
Okay. And so what can happen is, we can grow up in an environment where none of these things are present in the speech that we hear and that we are coming in contact with. So what God, when he saves us, and that's what he wants to do, he wants to save us from all of these things.
Yes.
When he saves us, we're saved, but we still don't have the understanding that we need to have. We have to unlearn the old negative speech, the negative thought patterns, the negative, if somebody were to do something to us, we lash out back to them. God teaches us how to do that. And so what will help us with these things is humility and truthfulness. All right? And so I have to be, if I'm honest with myself, I have to say, you know what, the word that I just spoke to that individual, those were the wrong words, or they were the wrong way, it wasn't the right time. And so humility allows me to do that, and truthfulness mixed with that humility allows me to do that. I could, if I wanted to, justify.
Right.
We are the human beings, the thing that human beings do best in general is justify. We can justify anything if we really want to. We really can. If they hadn't done this and they hadn't done that, and them people way back in 2003 hadn't done that, and then, you see what I'm saying? We can just, and then this is why I did what I did. And so if they'll just get all that stuff right, going back to 2003, then I would have done the right thing. That's not true. We have a choice. We have a God to help us to do what is right. So what we want to do is be honest, be humble before the Lord, and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I need to do better in this area. Will you help me? That's where God's blessings live. All right, I think about it as a parent. I'm a parent. I have three children. And there have been times, let me be honest with you, that I have not done what this is talking about. Let's just be honest with you this morning. Not with my wife, not with my children, not with my fellow man. And God has dealt with me. All right? And he's telling me, come closer, my child, to me. You can do better in this area. I'll help you to do better. What I want to encourage you this morning, don't spend a lot of time beating yourself over the head with what you can't change. If you can ask forgiveness, then ask forgiveness. If you need to go, God, and ask him to forgive you, do that. And from there, say, Lord, I need help in this area. That's it. No big deal. We spend so much time worried about what we think is going to happen because of what we done did. Forget that. Give it to the Lord. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to help you. He will help you. He will bless you. Want to encourage you with that this morning. May God help us this morning. Listen, you think I got saved and then the next day I was perfect? I ain't perfect yet, and I definitely wasn't perfect the next day. All right? It's a learning way. It's a learning way. Continue to learn. Continue to grow. Continue to get closer to the Lord. Grace and help of God. All right, moving forward. Let's see here now. Where we at? We at Proverbs 18 and 21. All right? Am I causing it to grow, or am I killing it? All right? Am I killing it? Somebody get that for us. If you have it, go ahead and read it. Proverbs 18, 21.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Hold what you got. Hold what you got. Now, wait a minute. Start that over. I don't know if I heard that correctly. If you'll just start at 18 and 21. Is that what you're reading?
Yes.
All right, let's go Proverbs 18 and 21. Go ahead and start over for me, please.
Death and life
All right.
are in the power of the tongue.
All right.
And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
All right, does that mean when it says death and life, does that mean physically, mentally, emotionally? Does that mean spiritually? What does that mean?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Somebody say all of that, right? And I don't want us to focus on the negative. I want us to focus on what it says. It says death
and life.
See, I can get up here and I can say, well, death is in the power of the tongue. And that's true, right? But let's talk about both, because that's what's in the power of the tongue. I can literally say something that can cause someone to die. I can literally do that.
Right.
And I can say something that can be the opposite,
right?
I thought about situations. Sometimes I'm out playing ball with the fellas and there's an argument that begins. And I'm in a position, blessed are the what? Peacemakers. How'd y'all know that? How'd y'all know I was going there? Come on now. Come on, that's what I'm talking about. Learn something, and so you can do something. That's what it's all about, right? So blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I'm in a situation where if I can get this problem deterred or stopped or squashed before it really gets going, later on down the line, nobody gets hurt, nobody gets killed, right? And so I can just pull somebody to the side, hey, man, you know what? It ain't that serious. We just playing ball. Let's not go there. Whatever the words are, right? But I've seen it both ways. I've seen it where that was done, and then somebody, you know, danger and disaster was averted. And then I've seen it the other way where it wasn't. It absolutely wasn't. And let me just give you another little taste of what it's talking about here. This is why it's really, really important. Most of the time, the violence that was intended for, see, violence is uncontrollable.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
It's uncontrollable. So what happens is you get collateral damage.
Right.
And so the person that had the opportunity to be that peacemaker maker didn't do that, right? And so that person is angry, and then something else happened, and they get more angry, and they, you know, more and more angry. Then they go home and they do something, you know, something else happens, and they just do something unspeakable.
Right.
They didn't do it with the person that they got into it with at the gym, though. You see? And so what we need to do is we need to be that peacemaker with our mouths. Hey, let me, can I talk to you? Can I, hold on, guys, wait a minute now. Let's shoot for it. Let's do something.
Yeah.
But let's not let it go. This ain't what we came for.
No.
God can help us to do these things.
Yes.
Peacemaker, right?
Yes.
With our own tongue. It says death and life. So we're choosing with our mouths. And I want us to understand another thing, not just in the physical sense, but most importantly, what are we? Let me ask you this. If we live to be as old as we possibly can be, somebody give me a number, ballpark it for me, how old you think you can be? There's no wrong answer. 100 years old. Anybody else? Anybody more than 100? Let's just say 200 to make sure that it gets everybody. Anybody know anybody that lived to 200? Okay.
No.
So we live for 200 years, right? And then we die, right? What does that tell us about the spiritual and the physical?
Okay.
Yeah. We are way more spiritual than we are physical.
Right.
All right? And so this scripture is to the spiritual. Right? First and foremost, right? Death and life is in the power of the tongue. So I can do something that is of a deadly nature in the spiritual realm that will keep with somebody, that will cause them harm going forward, right? And so we need to be careful about, Lord, help me.
Yes.
What I say, what I don't say, when I say it, who I say it to, how I say it. Is it from you or is it from me, Lord? Help me, Lord.
Yes.
All right? Because that's where the real damage takes place. All right. Moving forward. Life and death in the power of the tongue. Remember the parent and the child example. The husband, the wife, the sister and the brother, the spouse. You know, all of these things, they matter with our relationships. They either enrich or they tear down. All right? All right? Am I encouraging? Am I discouraging? Am I lifting up or am I pushing down? All right? I can cause my own self. Remember I said this earlier? I want to highlight it again. Get a hold of it. Things that you say can discourage you. Matter of fact, you can say something to someone else to discourage them, and it discourages you. All right? Be careful about what you say.
Right.
All right? Encourage somebody. If it's a righteous cause, if it's something good, if it's something healthy, you want to be encouraging.
Yeah.
Because by encouraging them, what happens is the expectations that you put on some other people many times are the same expectation you have for yourself.
Right.
All right? So if you think you can't do it, then you'll say they can't do it. But if you think you can do it, you'll say they can do it. And if you understand how it works, God is the one that helps us do everything anyway.
Yes.
We can do it, all of us, by the help of the Lord.
Yes.
All right, moving forward. Bring back to life, uplift, and encourage with my tongue, all right? Here's a commentary. This is what I read in a commentary about Proverbs 18 and 21. A man or a person may do a great deal of good or a great deal of hurt, both to others and themselves, according to the use of his or their tongue. Many a one has been his own death by a foul tongue. All right, the opposite is also true. All right, can we read Proverbs 21 and 23? Remember I talked to you about the soul, all right? About the soul, about how real it is. And how compared to this life that we're living in. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his what?
Soul.
His soul from trouble.
Yes.
His very soul.
Right.
The what makes you is your soul.
Right.
Not the outside, but the inside.
Yes.
All right? And so what makes you is your soul. And we want to keep, the Bible says, in your patience possess you your soul. And now it's telling us here as well that our mouth has something to do with how our soul is going to fare. All right, I can say things that will get me into trouble. Say, for example, I'm a married man, and some woman comes to me and she wants to talk to me. I know what's happening. I know what's going on. The Lord gives every child of God discernment.
Yes.
Now, I can shut that down in a kind and a careful way,
yes,
or I can feed into that.
Right.
You know, you look that, well, you look fantastic yourself as well.
Yeah.
Also and likewise. You know, I'm trying to pull something out, you see?
Right.
Where's that going to lead? Where's that going to lead, you see?
Yeah.
So I get my own self into trouble,
right,
with my own mouth. May God help us to sometime it's time to do this.
Yeah, it's true.
If I can't say something that's going to be helpful, that's going to be edifying, that's going to continue to keep my soul in the right direction, it's time to be quiet until I can. May God help us this morning. These are the words that are written in the Word of God. These are not mine. I'm just going to try to live by them and then give you the information that you need. I appreciate your time, your attention. This is the last scripture that we have this morning. It's James 1 and 19.
Yeah.
Somebody get that for us and read it for us so we can get a little understanding this morning. Something to help us out along the way. Something to get us where we need to go and where we need to be. May God help us. James 1 19. Go ahead.
Wherefore, my beloved brethren.
Yes.
Swift to
speak.
Oh,
no. Whoa, didn't say that? Hold on, wait a minute. I got that wrong. What did it say?
Swift to hear.
Slow to speak.
Slow to
speak. Slow to wrath. All right, so it says here, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man, so most men are every man. What about women? They don't have to do it, right? Because it says man here, right? It's talking about mankind, talking about humankind, isn't it? How would that work? The women can just do whatever they want, the men, that won't work, will it? That won't work, will it? Let's talk about it, right? Right? So it's talking about you. It's talking about me. It's talking about the old, the young, the rich, the poor, anybody and everybody. That's what it's talking about. What does it say to us this morning? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. All right? So what does it tell us to do? I said it wrong on purpose earlier. I said swift to speak. Right? That's wrong. Swift to hear. God has gave us two ears and one mouth, right? So what we are to do is really be dialed in on what we're hearing. I'm gonna try to lay something on you that God laid on me. Many times our response is dictated by what we heard. Now that sounds very simple, very plain. But if we misheard,
right,
then our response might be a mistake, okay? And so what we are to do is be swift to hear. Pay special attention. You can always ask for clarification. I don't understand you, baby. See, this happens to me sometimes. I say, baby, what are you talking about? Because I don't know. Men and women, they don't think the same. And so we need to be able to hear in a way that we have a proper response.
Yeah.
But if I rush to judgment, if I rush to what I think I heard, I make some type of assumption, I'm going to say or do something out of order, out of line. Haste makes what?
Waste.
So be swift to hear. All right. So what we need to do is, if we don't understand, get more understanding, more clarification, and then be way more concerned about hearing and understanding before we form our response. What's the next thing say? Slow to what? Slow to speak. All right. So if we listen carefully, sometimes we will gain deeper insight to the real issue.
Yes.
I'm pausing because I'm hoping y'all, if you don't know, now you know. I'm telling you, this is it right here. Sometimes a person will say one thing, but they really have a deeper issue.
Right.
And what they're doing is they're seeing how you're going to respond. So what can happen is, my son and my daughter come to me and say, Daddy, so-and-so and so-and-so. And because I'm not in the right place, I have a quick and a decisive response to what is being said. But that wasn't the real issue. They were probing. They were trying to see if I would even hear what they had to say. And try to understand where they're coming from so that I can actually help them. Right? And so God teaches us how to do these things. Be swift to hear and slow to speak.
Yeah.
So while you're quickly listening, you're slowly getting to what you have to say.
Yeah.
Because you need to think about what is being said. What are they really saying? What's really on their heart? What's really on their mind? Some people are shy. Some people have been abused and they've been rejected. And so they're afraid to approach you and to tell you the issue that they're having because they don't want more abuse or more hardness, right?
Yes.
And so God is teaching us how to do it. God, when Jesus was listening to the issues that were coming to him, he was looking at what was being said and he was looking behind what was being said. What is the real problem? That's what God wants us to do. All right, and slow to wrath, right? What is wrath? It's a feeling of love and kindness, right?
No.
Treating people with awesomeness. That's what wrath is. No, what is it? It's anger, right? Is it anger or is it a little bit beyond anger? You're out of control is what you're doing. You're doing too much is what's happening at this situation. All right, so it's telling us be slow to wrath. All right, and this is in the New Testament. So he's talking to children of God. He's talking to those that say, he's talking to those that are not saved. He's talking to you and he's talking to me. What we do sometimes is we'll have a place in our hearts that we have been hurt and we have been abused. We have suffered in some kind of way. And so when we hear something or we see something that is even in the direction of something that we have a sensitivity with, then we are quick to jump on that immediately. Because
right.
You're not going to hurt me because I'm already hurting already. Right? And so what this does is hinders communication.
Yeah.
It hinders communication. Right? A lot of marriages, a lot of relationships, they fail because they can't communicate. Now, I want you to hear me here because I didn't say they didn't love each other.
Right.
They love each other, but they don't know how to deal with one another. They can't get to the real issue, the real problem, the real understanding of one another so that they can know how to love each other in a better way because they don't know how to communicate one with another. Right? And so when I'm dealing with my children, when I'm dealing with my wife, when I'm dealing with anybody, I need to be careful in the way that I speak, in the way that I hear, because I want to have an understanding of that person. I want them to have an understanding of me.
Yes.
Right? And so the devil, he's right there when there's about to be some understanding that's about to happen and a deeper, because what happens is when you understand somebody, you love them even more. You get closer even better, right? And so what he does is he's right there and he's like, okay, they're about to get some understanding. Let me get in there and say something or do something that'll mess everything up.
Right?
Right? And what happens? He throws a monkey wrench in the plan and everything stops. And then we get discouraged and it goes from there, right? What God is wanting to do for you and for me, he wants to give us a little more love.
Yes. Yes.
Give me a little more love, precious Lord,
yes.
For God and for my fellow man.
Yes.
I find that I need a little more love, precious Lord, to ever do the best that I can.
Yes.
Love is what powers these behaviors.
Yes.
I can't do any of these things unless I have the love of God in my heart. Not just my own, but I need God's love in my heart.
Yes.
I need a little more love, precious Lord, to ever do the best that I can. So how am I going to get that love?
Yes.
So beneath the cross, I will meekly kneel until at last your love, I feel, oh, give me a little more love, precious Lord, and I'll be satisfied. I need your prayers. I'm going to tell you a little secret. If you already didn't know, I probably told you before, but I'm going to tell you again. Everything that I say on the pulpit from the Lord, the devil hears it. And he wants to do something about that. He wants to make me eat my words. He wants to discourage me. He wants me to fail on these lines and any other line that come across the pulpit. So when I say that I need your prayers, I mean that literally. Be praying for me. Pray for me, please.
Yes.
And then at the same time, I'm going to be praying too, because I want to be an example. I want to be a light. I want to be an encouragement. I want to be an uplift. I want my words to matter and to count.
Yes.
I believe that there's healing in words,
yes.
Right? I've seen people that had an argument, had a fight, and was beefed up for however many years or months or whatever it was. And somebody got the grace from God. They got some humility, and they came and said, you know what? I'm sorry for what I did. Will you please forgive me? And they meant it. And those words and that spirit that, because remember, it's not just the word, but it's the love that's behind it. It's the God in me that allows me to do these things. Those words, they matter. I can have the God in me all that I want to, but if I'm not willing to go and make that apology, I'm not willing to go and do what it is that I need to do, then we still have a rift. We still have a tear. We still have a beef going on, right? And so God is wanting to teach us how to do these things. I'm encouraged I'm encouraged that this is even possible.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest, you know, you don't see a lot of this. You don't see a lot of this. But what we want to do is we want to be examples, and we want to be doing these types of things so that it becomes contagious. Other people want it. They want it. They see it. They want to find out how you're doing it. And this is God's way. This is His way. This is how we make heaven our home. Again, I thank you so much for your time, your attention, your prayers for me. Continue to pray for me. I want to make heaven my home. I will be praying for you. And by the grace and help of God, we're going to make heaven our home. And while we're on our way, we're going to do some good work for the Lord. Please pray for me. I will be praying for you. Thank you for your time.